You would be shocked and hurt. You are going down the sawdust trail, aren't you? But worse was still to come. After he had finished his prayer, the preacher told Keith and me that he wanted to see us after the service. Reluctantly, and half suspecting him of being a hypnotist, we stayed behind. When the hall was empty, Mr. Donker asked us our names. "Andrew and Keyes," he repeated. "Well, boys, are you ready for your first assignment?" Before we had a chance to protest, the preacher went on. "Good. I want you to go back to your hometowns. Where do you come from, boys?"
"Witte."
"Both from Witte? Excellent. I want you to go back to Witte and hold an open-air meeting in front of the burgomaster's house. You'll be following the biblical pattern. Jesus told the disciples to spread the good news beginning at Jerusalem. They had to start their preaching in their own backyard." The words exploded one by one in my mind like mortar shells. Did this man know what he was asking? "Oh, I'll be with you, boys," Mr. Donker went on. "Nothing to be alarmed about. It's all in getting used to it. I'll speak first." I was barely listening. Instead, I was remembering how much I disliked street preachers of any stripe. More words drifted into my conscience. "So we have a date, then, Saturday afternoon in Witte." "Yes, sir," I said, intending to say no. "And you, son?" Mr. Donker asked Keyes.
"Yes, sir."
Keyes and I rode the bus home in stunned silence, each secretly blaming the other for having got us into such a spot. Not a soul in Witte missed that meeting. Even the town dogs turned out for the show. We stood with the evangelist on a little platform made of boxes and looked out over a sea of familiar faces. Some were laughing outright, some only grinning. A few, like the Wetstras and Miss Meikle, nodded encouragement. The next half hour was a nightmare. I don't remember a thing that Keyes and Mr. Donker said. I only remember the moment when Mr. Donker turned toward me and waited. I stepped forward, and a terrifying silence rose to meet me. Another step, and I was at the edge of the platform and glad for the loose Dutch trousers that hid my knocking knees. I couldn't remember a thing I had planned to say. So all I could do was tell about the way I felt dirty and guilty coming home from Indonesia, and how I had carried around the burden of what I was and what I wanted out of life until one night, during a storm, I laid it down. And I told them how free I had felt ever since. That is, until Mr. Donker here had trapped me into saying I wanted to become a missionary. "But you know," I said to my hometown, "I might surprise him at that." I almost dreaded my next date with Teal. It's hard to tell the girl you hope will marry you that you've suddenly decided to be a missionary. What kind of a life was that to offer her? Hard work, little pay,